Good morning, church family. Thank you for joining us for our online broadcast. We pray that it will be a blessing to you, and we wish you a happy Valentine's Day. Taking the pagan holiday and making it a Christian holiday today as we continue our sermon series on prayer. Today's message will be entitled, The Power of a Praying Couple. The Power of a Praying Couple. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, we'll read some scripture in chapter 4. And then be ready to turn to Matthew's Gospel. As you turn there, I would like to thank the church for praying for me and my family. We certainly continue to need prayer, as we all do, and I would like to ask you to continue to pray for us, and we pray for you. There are many folks on the prayer list that need prayer. We see things each and every week that change and seem like maybe turn for the worse sometimes. But I sure am thankful that all things work together for good to them that love Him. And I'm thankful for that today. Before we get into this message, I would like to pray with you at this time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Thank you for all that you do. We pray, Lord, that your blessings would be upon, Lord, our time together here today. I pray as we worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, that you would get all honor and glory. I pray that you'd anoint us from on high to preach that which you'd have us to preach. I ask you, Father, for the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray for a new anointing, a fresh anointing from above, Lord. May our cups overflow with love today. I pray, Lord, that you would just please, Lord, pour your Spirit out, God, on your people, Lord. Bless those that are watching today, part of the church, outside of the church. I pray that you'd allow this message, God, to be a blessing to someone, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak for me, Lord. I have nothing, God, without you, Lord. And we have so much to be thankful for, God. And we pray for all the sick and hurting, Lord, those in the hospital, the ones that have lost loved ones recently. I pray, God, for those that are sick, Lord. I pray that you just touch everybody, Lord, the hurting one today. I pray that you'd, Lord, help us, God, to be more like you and less of ourselves. We'll thank you and praise you for this that you do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Book of Ecclesiastes today, chapter 4. Begin reading in verse number 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I would like to speak to you today about prayer in marriage. And may I say, as we go into this message, if you are a child, if you're single, not married, if you're divorced, if you're a widow, if you're married, this message applies to everyone. Please don't not watch this if you are not a married couple. You need to hear this because a lot of the points and scriptures that, you know, we can apply to this message applies to our relationship with our friends and family as well, not just our spouse. I would like to say today, the old saying is very true. A couple that prays together stays together. A family that prays together stays together. A home that prays together stays together. Friend of mine, today, it is of my opinion that in your marriage, the most important thing that you could possibly do is pray with one another. It is estimated that 50% of marriage in today's society ends up in divorce. 78% of the 100 proclaim to be Christian couples. It is also, moreover, a fact that a couple that avidly, fervently, genuinely prays together has less than 1% chance of getting a divorce. Are you hearing me? A less than 1% chance. So I can't help but to think that we are not praying together as we should be. Again, 78% of 100 proclaim to be Christian couples. May I say this? You should have begun praying for a spouse at a young age. If you're single and watching this and not doing that, I encourage you to start now. And you should continue in prayer for that spouse even once the spouse has been found. And, you know, today I want to talk about praying together primarily, but also, you know, praying for one another and praying with one another and praying for others in your marriage as well. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that two are better than one. We were told from the beginning that it was not good for man to be alone. So God created a helpmate for the man. He created the woman for the man. And by the way, God has ordained marriage, and it still remains the same. One man to one woman. Not one woman to another woman, and not a man to a man, but one man and one woman. Not multiple, one man to one woman, married in holy matrimony. It was never intended for man to live alone. That is why, my friend, we have helpmates. Now, we confirm this in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. We understand that two people can do much more than just one. Oftentimes, another problem in our marriage is pride. We often have so much pride to the point that we are married to our spouse, but oftentimes many people feel that they would be fine or much better not married. Now, the wives who think that, please remain silent at this time. Verse 12, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken." Now, I'm going to pull some of my pre-marriage counseling material into this message. When two people come together under the authority and leadership of the Holy Spirit, God has brought two together to become one, there also must be something in between the two to keep them together. You understand that a sandwich can't be together. Two pieces of bread have to have something between them for it to stick together. This is the same with our marriage today. So imagine a braid. Imagine taking three cords, the center braid being God, the right braid being the husband, and the left braid being the wife. And you simply take all three of those. Ladies, you know how to braid hair, and you're braiding all of that together. This one in the middle constantly remains the same. It is always in the middle. The two on the left and right often cross paths with one another. They are wrapped around the center cord. And if you know anything about rope today, the more braids in a rope, the stronger it is. Friend, you cannot take one strand of string and expect to do much good with it. That is why we are told that a threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. You have much more strength with two than one, and you have much more strength with three than two. So you've got to keep God centered in your marriage. How do we do this? We do this through prayer. I find it absolutely absurd to think that many couples today in society, if they pray together at all, it perhaps may be before a meal. Probably not that. It could be of a morning or at night. Probably not that. The only time that most couples, this is a fact, this is not my opinion, the only time that most couples come together in prayer is when tragedy happens. When problems come our way, then we'll start praying. That goes for Christians in general. We only want to pray during the bad times. We will go through the good times not communing with God at all with our wife or husband. Yet all of a sudden when tragedy hits, when there are problems, oh, we're crying out to God. We need Him then. But you see, my friend, this is only the surface of the problem. You have to understand that prayer is essential for marriage. If you want your marriage to work and be successful, my friend, you have no other option but to pray. You have to pray in your marriage. It is not an option. It was never optional. It is a must. I often find that couples that live worried, distressed, anxious is because they do not pray together. The reason homes have so many problems is because they don't pray together. Again, fact, not opinion. So I want you to turn with me now to St. Matthew's Gospel, to chapter 18. Chapter 18, we'll read beginning in verse number 9. Pardon me. We'll begin reading in verse 18, Matthew 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, I want you to look at me right now. I want you to focus and not, I'm not trying to take this out of context, but if you continue reading, you will get confused and you'll stray from the message today. Verse 18 says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, whatsoever you allow, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we're talking about a couple today. It says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus speaking here in red letter words, verily, he said, verily I say unto you. In other words, whenever Jesus said, verily I say unto you, it simply means assured. It is assurance that it will happen. I like that. I love when Jesus said, verily. In other words, you can take it to the bank, brother. It's going to happen, or it is a promise given to us. He said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever two people, a couple, comes together and chooses not to allow on earth, God said, I'm going to honor that, and I'm going to bind it in heaven as well. And whatsoever you shall allow or loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Where two, three together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Notice this, Satan always attacks unity. When there are two people coming together, he always attacks that. My point, when Adam and Eve were created together, it was after they were created together that Satan ever tempted them. Oftentimes, a couple will get married and think that things are going to just be the best in the world. But when unity takes place between a couple who keeps God in the center of them, Satan does not like it. It angers him, and he will then choose to attack your marriage in many different ways. This is about that. This message today, I could probably preach three or four subtitle sermons under this. Satan will often attack your marriage when you come together in Christ Jesus. If you're already separated, not agreeing on anything, he's got you right where he wants you. He doesn't have to attack you because he's already succeeded. A house divided cannot stand. Chapter 19, verse 4. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. This is part of coming together when we got married. It was fine to leave mama and daddy. That's really not a challenge for most people. Most young adults, that is not a challenge. However, the challenge does come in when we go to cleaving to one another. We are to leave and then to cleave. This is where the problem comes in, even with prayer in marriage. Cleaving to one another is easier said than done. Why? Because you're two separate people. You have two separate mindsets. You have two separate personalities. You are of two separate genders. You have different emotions. You have different temperaments. You have different everything. However, opposites, at some point, when they get close enough, they do attract. This is easier said than done, coming together. Wherefore, they are no more twain, no more two, no more separate, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And part of coming together, my friend, is going to be impossible, according to the Bible, unless you do it through prayer. That is part of being in one accord. That does not just apply for the Church of America. That also very much so applies to your marriage. Let me ask you a question today, friend. Somebody is watching this because God's done told me your marriage is in shambles. Perhaps a divorce attorney has done been contacted. Your marriage is hanging in a balance and being outweighed today by everything else but your marriage. Everything else has taken over. Somebody is watching this today, and you and your wife are not on good terms. You and your husband are not on good terms. Somebody is watching this today, and you truly don't believe that your marriage can't make it one day longer. I have good news for you, friend. Today is the day that can change. And how does it change? Through prayer. All things in life of success evolve around prayer. In your marriage, when you are sick, pray. When you are stressed out, pray. When you have problems together, pray. Fill in the blank. Just pray. Oftentimes in marriage, I find this to be a problem in praying. There are a few problems we have together when it comes to praying. And it comes to the point, again, I'm trying to put this all together, but it comes to a point where we have to evaluate our roles in marriage and ask ourselves, are we truly doing what we are meant to do in our marriage? Listen to me, friend. I truly believe it is a man's job, a husband's job, a father's job to sit down with his wife and with his children and pray together with them. My friend, hear me well. If you are a man today and you are not praying with your wife, You are forsaking her. You are forsaking God, and you're forsaking your church. If you do not have enough man about you to kneel down with your wife and pray with her and to pray for her, my friend, you have missed the mark somewhere. I understand we live in a world where our roles in marriage have become backwards. Do you understand today why mother does more praying with the children? It's because the man of the house has slacked on God. Do you understand today why wives come broken to husbands and ask them, would you please pray with me? And they end up praying. It's because husbands are not what they are meant to be in Christ Jesus. Do you understand the problem here? The problem is men are no longer men for God. They are rather men for themselves. And when you are a man of God and a man for God, you do His will. And God's will, I believe with all of my heart, every husband watching this today, is for you to lead your family in prayer. Don't stand before God in judgment and say, well, my wife just wouldn't pray with us. My wife would not pray for us. That's your job. Somebody said, I don't know how to do that. Talk to God. It's not that hard. You're married to the woman. Amen. Why be embarrassed? Somebody said, I've heard this out of men's mouths. I'm embarrassed to pray with my wife. Why? The woman knows everything about you, honey. Listen to me. You got no reason to be embarrassed. There's no right or wrong way. And when you are sincere, that is, in your prayer. You've got to come together. And the husband must take the lead. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I got a big feeling that there are people watching this broadcast right now. That husbands, you are not doing your job. If you're not going to do your job, you might as well cut this off right now, because it's not going to do either of you any good. There has to be roles in marriage, and they have to be fulfilled. You've got to do your job, in other words. You can't expect your wife to do your job for you. And wives, you can't expect your husbands to do your job for you. Husbands were made to love and adore their wives. The reason that we were told as men to love our wives, I truly believe, is because it is harder for men to love than women. You won't find a verse that says, wives, love your husbands. The reason for that is because of nature. Men have a harder time loving. Women, it most of the time comes natural. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Wives, your job is to submit yourself under the authority of your husband, not your dictator, under the authority of your husband. And if your husband's doing what your husband should be doing, it's not a problem to submit to him. And unless you are self-willed and self-centered, then you have a desire to submit to Him. Oftentimes men do their jobs, do the best they can in their marriages, and their wives refuse to submit because they're self-willed and self-centered. But primarily, husbands, you have a desire to love your wife. Wives, you have a desire to submit to your husbands if you are both found in Christ. In doing so, hear me well, both will pray. If you truly love your wife, you'll pray with her. Amen. Wives, if you're truly submitted to your husband, you want him to pray with you and pray for you. And there's nothing wrong, mind you. There is not one bit wrong with a wife praying for her husband and praying over her husband as she should be. However, it's a biblical role of a man, I believe, to lead the home. And that is in prayer. Many things, but in prayer most definitely. So not only do we see the problem in our roles being reversed, but we also see the problem in common obstacles we face in life. This is true. Friend of mine, hear me well. There are couples that have severe prayer problems right now because every obstacle in life you have allowed, this is your choice as a couple, to come before you in your prayer life as a couple. Oftentimes we will say things like, we're just too busy. You know, that's really a lie, if you want to know the truth. You're never too busy to pray as a couple, ever. It really doesn't matter. If you want to take a busy person, come follow me around on a day-to-day basis. Take my biography, but you will still find time made for prayer. Oftentimes we allow our children, I say this very respectfully, oftentimes we'll allow our children to take our personal time with our spouse that should be used to, first of all, be used to pray with one another. That's part of that personal time. We will allow this family member to take that time. We'll allow a friend to take that time. We'll even allow a church member to take that time. Obstacles are just excuses. Excuses won't stand in the day of judgment. And by the way, you will stand an account, husband and wife, for your marriage. Make sure you understand that. There are times as a family we should come together and pray with our children, but there are most definitely times before that that we should make time for our spouse and praying with them. Let me say this. Oftentimes we say we're too tired. How do you think Jesus felt when we read more than once that he continued in prayer all night? How do you think Jesus felt? Oftentimes I find the problem lies within ourselves. And what I mean by that is it's kind of hard to pray with one another when you don't pray yourself. It's hard for a husband who doesn't even commune with God at all to pray with his wife. It's got to start with us and then go to our marriage. We often allow our fleshly and worldly desires and distractions to take place. We're more worried about the TV. Amen. How many men watching this will sit in their easy chair and watch the TV until they fall asleep? I'm just asking the question. See, this is a problem, and I'm not trying to target men, But it is a severe problem when over the years, generations after generations, wives have come to church by themselves. Wives have prayed by themselves. Wives have often been the one calling out God on the behalf of their children who are lost and dying and going to hell. This is a problem. And this has been for generations. It's because men don't want to be men, or they don't know how to. Perhaps I need to do a marriage series sometimes on how to be that man for your wife. I've got to give you this, though. It is a common fact that one of your wife's needs is spiritual. And husband, one of your needs is spiritual. In fact, half of all your needs is spiritual. Why? Because we are half body and half soul. So half of all of our needs are spiritual. But see, we're not addressing the spiritual needs of our marriage. We're good about going to the doctor. Got our health needs taken care of. We're good about having the best accountant in the world. Our financial needs are met. But we have forsaken our spiritual needs. And if your spiritual needs aren't right with God, it really doesn't matter what other needs are right. Our spiritual needs as humans, as Christians, my friend, are the most important. In the book of Ephesians, and I'm for sake of time, I'm not going to read there in chapter 5, we're told that God promises to help us overcome the obstacles. See, I'm not leaving you there, so don't come to me and don't send me an email saying, well, preacher, you didn't follow that statement up. I'm following it up right now. God will give you help, and He promises it. In the book of Ephesians, you can read it for yourself. Chapter 5, I don't have the exact verses. To overcome the obstacles that may come before you and your wife praying together. I'd like for us to turn, with me to the book of 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in chapter 3. I hope you understand thus far in the message that how powerful it is for a couple to pray together. I mean, you understand that this is a promise. And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That is powerful. Is anybody else glad that the power of God has been passed down to you in your marriage, agreeing two together, the power has been passed down to you? I'm so thankful for that. So I hope you understand the importance of a praying couple, how well a praying couple can truly reach heaven. Now, I want you to understand also, I want you to understand how in your marriage that how serious it can be, how you can not only reach heaven, but how serious it can be that you don't reach heaven. Verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. This is a wife being, verse 1, this is a wife being an inspiration, the wife being a Christian here. Winning her husband over for the Lord. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adoring, let it not be that outward adoring of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be hidden, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and the quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, mind you, if you're watching this, that Abraham was a godly man. Sarah obeyed him because he was a godly man. Your husband, again, we go back to number one. If your husband is if his law does not align with God's law, if what he says does not align with what God says, then you need to obey God over him. Verse 7, listen, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. In my last point of the day, for sake of time, I perhaps may continue this on even as a subcategory of this series. I want you to understand, I've got to give you this before I leave you. I want you to understand how important it is to come together as a praying couple. Verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There are many people that will tell me today, well, preacher, we're doing our best to pray together. We never hear from heaven. We never see the mountain move. We never see the sickness healed. We never see anything happen in our marriage. Friend, may I make you understand that when you are not living as a married couple under the subjection to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, according to His will for you, in your marriage, when you do not live that way, you cannot simply expect to pray together and your prayers be heard. When you're fussing and fighting and arguing, good luck. You're going to have a hard time praying together. If you don't believe me, the next time you have an argument with your wife, try to pray with her. And by the way, I encourage that. When fussing and fighting happens, stop it and pray immediately. However, when we are not under subjection to the authority of God in our marriage, do not expect to get a hold of God. Your prayers will be hindered. when you try to pray on your own, yet you and your wife can't even pray together, your prayers are hindered, my friend. If you can't pray with your wife and you attempt to pray alone, your prayers are being hindered because of the ought you have with your wife or with your husband. Don't let that be you. Don't fall into that category today. Not only should we be praying together, we should also be praying for our spouse on a personal, individual level. Husbands, pray for your wives. Wives, pray for your husbands. There is no better advice that I could give a couple than to pray. Because prayer is the key to everything. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the answer today. If you're not praying with your spouse in your marriage, then quit questioning why you have such a terrible marriage. Many people are good about putting on a front. This is true. They wear nice clothes. They're all fixed up. We look as humans at these couples and we think, you know, there's probably not a better couple in Arab, Alabama. There's probably not a happier couple in Arab, Alabama. And did you know oftentimes those people are the ones that their lives and their homes, their marriage is in shambles. They're simply going along to get along. We can't go along to get along, friend. I once preached a message entitled Mixed Up, Messed Up Marriages. The Bible said that the bride of Christ, the church, was meant to be adored as a spotless bride. The problem with our marriages today, the white has spots all over it. Our marriages look as spotted up as a Dalmatian does. Dalmatian dog. Our marriages are spotted up. They're not spotless. Friend, we've got a severe problem in America when over half of our marriages end up in divorce and almost 80% of those claim that they're Christian couples. I'm not saying that things biblically, I'm not saying that things can't take place in a marriage even with one trying. Things can happen. Adultery takes place. Things of that nature. Unfaithfulness takes place. Fornication takes place. It can happen. But I just feel it safe to say the majority of marriages that are truly in Christ stay together. There, you can't convince me of anything other than that simply because in order to stay together in marriage, you and I both know God has to be involved. You have to pray with your wife. You've got to pray with your husband. You've got to pray with one another, and you need to pray for one another. Remember what I told you, less than 1% of couples that truly pray together, earnestly, fervently, genuinely, pure, truly pray, less than 1% end up in divorce. It boils down to this. The reason you have problems right now, and I'm bold enough as your pastor to tell you this, the reason you have problems right now is because you're not praying. You have a lack of prayer. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm praying all the time. We've got to get deeper than that, friend. If you are praying, see, there's no excuses here. If you aren't there are ways to pray, and we've hit on this before. If we're not praying in the Holy Spirit under the anointing, and we're not setting the things in our life aside, if we're talking to God and thinking about everything else, we're doing nobody no good. That's not true prayer. So, my friend, I say this to you. No, you're not. You're not truly praying all the time. If you're truly praying together, you will have such a better marriage and such a better life. You will. I'm telling you it to be true. Try it if you don't believe me. If you're not praying together, that is the biggest reason, friend, today, if you're watching this, you and your spouse have problems. It's because you're not praying together. You and I have been in this same position before. Every one of us. If you're praying, keep on praying. If you're not, start. Somebody needs to hear this message. You've got somebody in your life that you need to click this link and send it to so that they can hear the Word of God and be encouraged. Not to hear me, but to hear the Word of God. I know people in my family that it is safe to say they rarely ever pray together. I know married couples, family, friends, even in the church, that don't pray together. And we wonder why we have so many problems. It all boils down to this, friend. If you're not praying, you've got problems in your marriage. I encourage you, take this word, pray for your spouse and pray with your spouse. If you haven't started, please start. Your marriage should start in prayer. And one day after a while, if Christ tarries is coming, and one of you's on your deathbed, it should end with prayer. I started praying in vacation Bible school when I was a kid that God would send me a spouse. He honored that, and He did. That don't mean just because I got that prayer answered that I need to stop praying. In fact, we need to pray more once we come together as one. The problem with marriages today is prayer. I'm going to say this in closing. I have heard a wife say, I have heard husbands say things like, God, I need this, I need that. Let me tell you something. It goes back to prayer. Prayer promotes health in your marriage. Prayer promotes wealth in your marriage. Prayer promotes intimacy in your marriage. Prayer promotes unity. Prayer promotes family. Prayer promotes all good things in your marriage. I encourage you today, pray, pray, pray. I'm going to pray with you now for you and for your marriage. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the institution of marriage. Thank you, God, for creating man to be with woman. Thank you, Lord, for sending a spouse in our lives to be our helpmate. Thank you, God, for the privilege that we have to boldly come to you directly in faith and in prayer. God, I ask you, Father, today, Lord, the one watching, Lord, listening by way of broadcast, I pray, Lord, the marriage is in shambles, that you would mend those broken pieces, get an unction in their souls that's burning for you, Lord, to have more of you and to pray together. I pray, God, for the marriage, Lord, that has stood the test of time, Lord, that they would continue, Lord, even in these uncertain days, to continue to pray with one another. And God, not thinking, God, that they're fine and they've made it all this time, but to realize they must have prayer at all times to make it. I pray for the one watching this video, God, that right now, Lord, is single. That one day, by your grace, will be sent a spouse to marry. I pray, God, that they could be found within your unction, God, your spiritual guidance, Lord, for their marriage. I pray for their future spouses. I pray for their future homes. And I ask you, Father, Lord, to bless them as they search for your will for their marriage. I pray, God, that those watching, I pray, Lord, no matter married, old, young, not married, I pray, Lord, that they could get a blessing from this message. I pray that the Word of God has been sent to pierce the hearts of our marriage. I pray, God, that you will just please grow and prosper married couples, Lord, to live a life for you. I ask you, Father, Lord, the one that's alone today, God, that's hurting, I pray, Lord, for them, that you would fill that void in their life. And I pray, God, that they would be what you'd have them to be. I pray for our church and our families, God, that you bless them and continue to be with them. Lead, guide, and direct us. Help us this next week. And Father, bring us back here, if it could be your will, once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friend, we thank you for joining us today for this broadcast. I pray that it was a blessing to you. And I'd invite you to join us here each and every Sunday morning as we do this broadcast, as we worship together in spirit and in truth. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, my beloved.